You some good looking people. Y'all look nice today. It's good to see you. Turn to the left and tell the person to the left of you, be like, hey man, you look awesome. You look awesome. Yeah. That's good. That's good. Turn to the person on the right, be like, you're all right. You're doing pretty good. You're doing pretty good. It's okay. All right. Setting you up to fail right there. Some of y'all's wives are on your right side. You're like, I ain't saying that, bro. I'm not saying that. Good morning, everybody. It's really, really good to see you. Thanks for being a part of Church on the Rock and being with us today. If we've not met, my name is Josh. I have the privilege to serve as the lead pastor here at Church on the Rock. I love what I get to do. I especially love just doing life with you and serving with you alongside of you. Being on your team is my favorite thing. It really is. So thanks for being a part. If you're tuning in online, love the connections that we have all across the country and beyond. It's really, really been amazing to just be connected with you. I know some of you are faithfully connecting from distances long away, and then some of you are only connected online because maybe you're out of town, on a business trip, vacation, etc. But thank you so much for tuning in. It's really good to have you guys too. Listen, it's a great day today. It's a super, like a day of celebration. And so I know that news said it. I know that my sister, Jamie, already said it. But today is Baptism Sunday, everybody. Yeah. So if you're new around here, we have a culture, all right? We have a thing when it comes to baptism, because baptism matters. Isn't that right, everybody? It's a big, 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 giant deal. And so we have a culture of celebration. Here's what we like to do. When these people go down underneath that water, it's a representation of what's happened in their heart. They are buried to that old person and that old sinful way of living and thinking and believing. They're washed and cleansed in the blood of Christ Jesus, and they are raised to new life again. And so when they come out of that water today, it is our job, it is our responsibility, it is who we are, everybody, to make a loud sound of celebration when they come out of that water. So I wanna practice. I wanna get you ready, because it's gonna happen right after service. I'm gonna get you ready, all right? If you're a whistler, I need you to whistle. If you're a whooper, I need you to whoop. If you're just like a clapper, I need the loudest clap you got. I just wanna hear your cheer, all right? So my arm is gonna represent the person, and here's what's gonna happen. They're gonna say, I'm gonna baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And they're gonna come out of the water, and you're gonna go, Yep, that'll do it, that'll do it, all right? You do that, it's gonna be really, really good. So here's how it's gonna work, okay? Immediately following this service, we have a baptism pool. It's actually set up right outside of the doors of the auditorium, but it's out in the parking lot. So it's, when you walk out the main entry doors where you would get on the trolley, just hang a quick left and celebrate some life change with us. We got plenty of room for you to crowd around and cheer and congratulate those that are making an outward expression of an inward change. So I just want to invite you to participate in that with us. We would love the most amount of you as possible, the loudest noise possible. Does that sound fair, everybody? Yeah, it's also a good day to celebrate, because there are a couple of people, and maybe not everybody in here know them, but I do, and there are a couple of people celebrating birthdays today, okay? They are. And I just want to say happy birthday, Pastor Aldrich, who's way up there in the balcony. Happy birthday. I've had people ask me this morning, like, how old is Pastor Aldrich turning? And I tell them this, that he is turning a year older today, okay? If he wants to disclose that information, you go ask him. Don't ask me. That's not my job, all right? But there's also somebody else who is very special, at least to me. I know to many others, but somebody very special to me also celebrating a birthday today. Lauren and I's oldest daughter, Janelle, is turning 21 years old today. She's sitting right over there. So happy birthday to you as well. A lot of people will often say to Lauren and I, my goodness, you guys do not look old enough to have a 21-year-old daughter. And we love to tell them, we're not, but we do. That's just the way it worked out. Listen, it's part of our story. Janelle's an awesome person, been married more than 2 years already, believe it or not. So 21 today, so congratulations, happy birthday to you. I just felt like, why not? You're my daughter. They gave me the microphone. Happy birthday. All right, there we go. All right. So listen, we are in a message series right now, a little mini, like a little three-part. And we've been calling this series On This Rock. On This Rock. And it comes from a story that we're about to read in the New Testament where Jesus made a claim about this rock and what he would do with it. I don't know if you could tell that worship was all geared toward our lives being built on the right thing, the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Amen, everybody. And so we're going to get into it today. Follow me if you would. Everything I'm going to share will be on the screen behind me. But there's a story in Matthew chapter 16, which is the very first book in the New Testament of your Bible. And we're going to read verses 13 through 18, and here's what it says. Excuse me, after I do that. I think we're good now. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" He's referring to himself. "Who do people say that I am?" And just for context, in case you're not familiar with this story, Jesus at this point in his life is wildly popular, very, very well known. He's got a lot of influence. So just like anybody that has influence, he has big fans, people that think he's awesome, and he has big critics, people that don't like him at all. And so at this stage in Jesus' life and ministry, he's got a reputation. There's a word on the street, so to speak, about him, and he's curious, like, well, what do they say? Like, what's the social media opinion of me right now, right? It's kind of what he's asking. I guess he didn't have an Instagram account. I don't know. But they replied, verse 14, "Well, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And just by the way, this is a compliment. They're basically saying, people think you're a reincarnated, amazing human being. This is generally what people are saying about you. It was almost like, only some of you are going to get this, but it was almost as if the disciples are like, "I don't know how to put this, but you're kind of a big deal," okay? That's what they're saying to him. And then verse 15, Jesus asks a question. And Jesus said, "But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, Son of the living God." Notice Jesus' response in verse 17. And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not," pay attention here, "this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." In other words, Jesus is saying, you've had a revelation that is supernatural. This was not something that you could deduce by your own thinking or your own intellect. This is not something that your mind would have been able to get to on its own. But my Father himself has opened your eyes, your ears, your heart, your mind, your understanding to recognize who I really am. I'm not some reincarnated great guy. I'm not just popular. I'm not just someone who has a voice or an influence. I am the Messiah. I am the Son of the living God. And you, Peter, have understood this. And then he goes on to say, and here's the point of the series, "I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." So the question I've been asking is, well, what's the rock? Like, is it Peter? Should we talk more about Peter in our churches? Should he have a heightened emphasis or a greater notoriety when we gather together like this? And I would suggest that he is certainly a guy that we should be talking about. Peter was an amazing guy in the Bible. He did some incredible things. He was mightily used by God. Incredible things done through the influence of his life. But I would submit that it's not Peter. It's not that Jesus is saying, "You're so awesome, I'll build my whole church on you." What he's saying is, what you've understood, what's been revealed to you by the power of God, the revelation that I am the Messiah, the Son of the living God, that I will build my church on. And what is, who is the church? Shout it out if you know it. We are. I think meeting in a high school emphasizes, at least for our church, at a heightened level, that the church is not an address, a location, a building. It is not a brand or a color scheme. The church is you and me. And here's what Jesus is saying. The revelation that I am the Messiah, the Son of the living God, if you can get a hold of that, I'm going to build something so strong in you that not hell itself can overcome it. This is powerful. And so last week we talked about the Messiah and the understanding of who Jesus really is. And let me tell you something, it's imperative that we understand that. It's actually critical that we know that. In fact, I was just maybe 2 days ago, I was upgrading my cell phone, everybody. So if you were a part of that message weeks ago and remember it, my phone doesn't have a button anymore, okay? If you don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry about it. But I was upgrading my phone recently, and I was talking to the person in the store. We got on the subject of church, the conversation that I'm a pastor, et cetera, et cetera. And the person made this comment that about just religion, made this comment about other religions, you know, and they do good stuff. And okay, you know, I'm not going to push back that the other good things might not be happening. And he kind of made this comment that, like, you know, and maybe it just all points to God. And I said, well, maybe, but can I just express what I believe? And he's like, well, sure. And I said, Jesus is the pathway to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So listen, and I'm not trying to be a critical guy, all right? I'm not trying to be abrasive or confrontational. I'm trying to be truthful. And I believe that the Word of God is the absolute truth. And so my whole life, by the way, is built on this. So let me elaborate just a little bit. This is what I think faith-filled, Jesus-following Christians should do, is follow his word. And I should not modify his word to fit my life. Rather, my life should modify to fit his word. So respectfully, I push back on the thought or belief that everything leads to God. No, it doesn't. Everything glorifies God. He created it all, but only Jesus gets you to the Father. This is how we believe around here. And so last week, it was all about that Messiah and that understanding that Jesus is the way to the Father. Today, I want to go a little bit deeper, though, because Jesus said, this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood. This is kind of huge what's happened to you. You've had a revelation. And so what I want to do is I want to talk about the Holy Spirit today. And understand me that there's no possible way that in the time that we have together that I could ever fully encompass the fullness of the Spirit of God. In fact, if we gathered every single day for the rest of our lives and talked only about the Holy Spirit, we could never exhaust the depth and the measure of who he is to the life of the follower of Jesus. But today, I'm gonna pull some things out that I think we can focus on, learn from, and apply to our lives. Does that sound good, everybody? And I wanna disclaim a couple of things because I know that sometimes there are people that the conversation of the Holy Spirit makes them nervous. There are people like, I'm really comfortable with God the Father, like he's in charge and that's all good. And Jesus, the Son of God who came and died on the cross and saved my sin, like I'm really good. But as soon as you start talking about that Holy Ghost, what? I ain't afraid of no ghost, right? Like, and here's what I want to say to you. If you're a born again follower of Jesus, you have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you already. If you're a born again follower of Jesus, let me tell you something. You cannot survive this faith journey without the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. So it's not something to fear. It's not weird. It's not odd. It's something to embrace, and it's something to seek. Let me rephrase, someone to embrace and to seek. Amen. Amen. So I want to talk about the Holy Spirit just a little bit. And I was thinking about this as I was prepping, and I was thinking about today and praying about what God would have me unpack with us today. I was noticing, and listen, understand this is a disclaimer too, like I'm still a student of the Bible, okay? I know they call me pastor, and I know that I preach every week, but I don't have it all figured out, so I'm still learning some things. And in this study, I found this interesting, right? So just follow my line of thinking for a moment, that the disciples themselves saw Jesus, and then in time, we're told about the Holy Spirit. We're gonna look at that today. For us, though, it's almost as if it's backward. It's almost like we need the Holy Spirit to reveal to us Jesus. And I wanna unpack that just a little bit. Does that sound fair, everybody? Let's go to John chapter 16, verse 13. We'll dig deep. We're gonna talk about the Holy Spirit. And this is Jesus speaking to the disciples. And here's what he says. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. I love that so much. Watch this now. for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you, notice the end here, things that are to come. And here's what I want to say, is that the Holy Spirit is always taking us forward. Notice this. He's always carrying us forward. He's going to speak things that are to come. And this is why the Holy Spirit, I believe, it's one of the reasons that the Holy Spirit is so very important to our lives as followers of Jesus. Because if you're anything like me, and I'll bet you are, because most people have the same type of tendencies and patterns and thoughts, that when I reflect on me, I am quick to see myself in my present and all the inadequacies and the flaws and the issues and things that, man, I need to get better at this, and I should stop doing that, and I should start doing this, and man, I wish that I didn't have this habit or this pattern in my life, whatever it is. Like, I just, I'm not where I need to be. When I look in the mirror, this is what I tend to do. The other thing that I tend to do is I tend to look back, and I'll think often about all the things that I wish I had done differently, said differently, led differently, prayed differently, parented differently, friended differently, husband differently. Listen, the list would go on and on and on, because most of us tend to be our worst critics. But there's this powerful presence that dwells on the inside of the follower of Jesus that is always carrying you forward. And when we stand in the mirror and look at ourselves, and listen, honest reflection is a good thing. Paul talks about it, okay? It's a good thing. But when we stand in the mirror and we pound ourselves about not being where we ought to be, or having made all those mistakes, or wishing that we were further along, the Spirit of the living God rises up on the inside through the truth of his word to say, yeah, but you're not what you used to be, and you're on your way, and I'm calling you to great things, and he's beckoning you forward. Listen, let me reinforce it by saying this, that the Bible will tell us things like that your sin has been removed from you as far as the east is from the west. It's a long way. The Bible tells us that our Father in heaven remembers our sin no more. There is a powerful thing that the Spirit of the living God is trying to do in you, and that is take you to your tomorrow. Because if you stay stuck in your present or never move forward because of your past, the Spirit, I believe, is saying, come on, bro. Come on, daughter. There's so much more for you. Follow me. I will speak things that are to come. No matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how bad you've messed it up, I am here to take you into your future. Understanding this should make me embrace, long for, and want to know more the Spirit of the living God. Amen, everybody? And here's the good news. Last week, we talked all about pursuit. If you were here, you'll remember. We talked all about pursuit. And we talked about pursuing the Messiah. And we wanted to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we talked about what pursuit is. There's some difficulties in it, and there's some reward in it, and there's some intentionality that's required in it. Man, we got to pursue. And here's what I want to say to you today, is that because of the Holy Spirit, we don't have to pursue God alone. This is the best part. Because, again, I think we all would admit that in and of ourselves, if you just leave it to me, I'm going to fail. I'm going to get it wrong. I'm going to say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, not do the right thing. If you just leave it up to me, inevitably, and trust me, I know better than anybody, I will wreck that thing quick. But inside of me, in my spirit, man, is something that has been made new in Christ Jesus. My spirit, as hard as this is for us to understand, and when I say, let's just say our spirit, as hard as this is perhaps to comprehend, is perfect in the eyes of God. Perfect. The Bible says if any person be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. The old things are gone, and behold, all things become new. And our spirits before the Lord, when he looks at us, that's what he's seeing. And when he looks at us, he's seeing us through the filter of the cross, and Jesus paid the debt of our sin. And he sees our spirit in right standing with him. The problem is what our spirits are in. This is why the Bible says that we should be renewed in our minds, because it's this right here that's holding us back, that's causing us to stumble. But the Spirit of the living God is saying, I've got a tomorrow for you. Keep following me. Keep pursuing me. And not only will I take you to greater days, but I'm going to empower you to do some things. So let's get into it, all right? There's three things that I believe the Holy Spirit will do for you. And the number one thing is this, that he will draw you. I love this about the Spirit of God. He draws people toward the heart of God. The Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 44, no one can come to me, watch this, unless the Father who sent me, what? Draws them. And remember, we just read that the Spirit doesn't say anything on his own authority, but only what he hears the Father say. And I'm going to raise those people up in the last day. Well, when is that? Well, that's like in the future. That's our tomorrows. And what the Holy Spirit has the ability to do is draw people into the presence of the living God. Amen. Am I preaching to anybody this morning? Because again, you might be going to God sometimes saying, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. My head's down and I'm ashamed and all this stuff. And let me just clarify something for you. You ready for it? Okay. You're not worthy. That's why the gift of Jesus matters so much to us, because we are not worthy to be in the presence of God, but we get to anyway, because there's a gift of salvation through the Messiah. And when we understand that that's the only way that I can connect to the Father, and then we're given a deposit of the Spirit of the living God on the inside of us that continually draws us closer and closer and closer to the Father, then we have the ability to be drawn into his presence even though we're not worthy to be there. It is the Spirit of the living God that brings us there. Amen. Amen. The second thing that the Holy Spirit does is he just helps you. I love this because I need help. I need a lot of help. I need help everywhere all the time. Lord of mercy, I need help when I'm driving. I need help when I'm working. I need help when I'm hanging. I need help. Again, I know what I'm capable of in and of myself, and man, it's never been good. But the Spirit of God, he helps us. John 16, verse 7. I'm going to unpack this a little bit because I love this. Jesus is speaking, talking to his disciples, and he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the what? What's he called? The helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now just put yourself in the disciples' sandals for a second, all right? They didn't have all whites back then. Now just put yourself in their like moment. And here they are, having walked with this teacher, their rabbi, Jesus, who's become their friend, who's been there for them every time they've messed up, who called them out of places that they never even thought they'd be able to walk behind a rabbi and to study and to be a part of great miracles. I mean, man, they've handed out endless amounts of fish and loaves. They've seen people miraculously healed that were let down through the roofs. They've seen people walk out of tombs like Lazarus. Like, man, he was dead for 4 days, and Jesus just said, yeah, get up, man, I got something for you to do. Like, they have had some incredible experiences and encounters with Jesus himself, and then Jesus is having a little meeting with them, and he's like, hey, guys, it's been a good ride, man. I love y'all. It's been awesome. I'm leaving. Just imagine for a moment what that would feel like. All of us, okay, regardless of your story, understand the pain of separation. Maybe it's a lost loved one. Maybe it's just that someone moved away. Maybe it's that business called you somewhere else, or man, you wanted to work for that boss forever, but they retired, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Whatever. The examples are endless, but we all understand the pain of separation. And if you could just imagine for a moment being a disciple who loves Jesus the way that they do, and he's like, hey, man, I love y'all, but I'm going. And then he doubles down on that and says, but it's better for you that I go. I'd be like, what? Like, it was better for me when you came into my life. So if you could hang around, that's best. But Jesus is explaining, it's actually better for you if I go. Because once I go, I'm going to give you this helper. I'm going to deposit inside of you my spirit. Because prior to this moment, the presence of Christ was only available in the presence of Christ. And what he starts to unpack for these disciples is like, I know you don't understand it, but I'm doing a new thing. And it's actually in your best interest that I go away. This is God's plan. So I'm going to go, and I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to pray for you. But I will not leave you or forsake you. Remember when he said that? I will be with you even till the end of the age. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put my spirit on the inside of you. So you don't have to just be in my presence when we're having lunch. You can have my presence everywhere, all the time. I go where you go. I will lead you, and I will speak to you, and I will strengthen you. The spirit of the living God is our helper. So listen to me. If you're addicted, you need the helper. Listen to me. If you have horrible self-worth issues, you need the helper. Listen to me. If you're lonely, you need the helper. The spirit of the living God is there to say, hey, I'm going to transform your mind. We're going to renew the way that you think. And if you will pursue the Messiah, I will always lead you to your future. I will show you the truth. I will speak to you. You don't need only Pastor Josh to help you understand the Bible. Open it up. Start to read, and I will teach you, and I will help you, and I will give you understanding. I will give you scripture that you can memorize and you can put inside of your mind. And so when your mind starts telling you that you're a loser and you're not good enough and you always fail, you can pull that stuff out, throw it in the garbage, and replace it with scripture that says you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, his own special people. I will put truth in you. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He helps us in our weakness. He strengthens and bolsters us up in the places where we cannot stand on our own. The Spirit of God draws you into the presence of our Father. He helps you in your areas of weakness. And number three, he empowers you. This might be the best news yet. It just might be the best news yet. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You will receive, everybody say that word with me, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Can I say it this way? Everywhere you go. I will give you power. I'm going to close with this. I grew up in construction work. I've always been a part of structural things. So I grew up as a kid. My dad is a mason by trade. He's the best one. Way good at it. So I grew up around concrete and blocks and all that kind of stuff. And my dad hates concrete and I hate blocks. We were never on the same page there. And my dad got into foundations at one point, and we got exclusive into getting things prepped for concrete. It was the business model. And so I spent practically my entire childhood, because when your last name's Hersey, you have a job when you're like six, okay? It's just the way it goes. We just work, man. It's what we do. And so I grew up in construction work. And so what we did, and this might sound a little bit foreign to some of you, other of you guys will know exactly what I'm talking about, but we dug footers, okay, which is like the first part of the foundation of a building. Down here, you dig them. Other place, you actually use pyrotechnics and you blow them out of the ground, which would probably be more fun, but we live in sandy Florida. And so we had excavators, like little mini excavators, and at one point we had like a small, a medium, and a large. And then we had tractors, and we would grade slabs. And our job was to get everything just ready for concrete to go onto the ground. And I just want you to know something, that that I am way, way, way too acquainted with shovels. I never found one that fits, but I can operate one with the best of them. I'm good with a shovel because I've had a shovel in my hand since I was single digits in age, man. Again, we work. And a footer is basically a ditch that gets some rebar inside of it, and then it gets filled up with concrete. And I have spent many, many sweaty, hot, horrible summer hours digging footers with shovels. One bite at a time, little bit at a time. Just stay consistent. Pretend like you don't have a life. 7 p.m. will roll around because we didn't quit at 3:30. We quit at dark. It's more of that Hersey stuff, man. And any Hersey that's listening or watching knows what I'm talking about. All we do is work. Man, we dig them footers. Dig them footers. And I'll never forget years ago, I'm probably making this too long, but we were digging this footer down on the beach, and it was terrible, miserable, hot, and there was so much trash, and there were roots and garbage, and I mean, trying to dig through that, it was wearing all of us absolutely out. I don't know, I was 11, 12 years old, and we were just getting after it. And I remember my dad said, y'all stay working, I'll be back. And I'm like, I want to go to Bono's. I'm just kidding. So my dad disappears for a while. And then my dad came back with a mini excavator on a trailer behind the truck. And it's the first time that I'd ever been around one of these. That thing rolls off that trailer, gets on that job site. And my dad, who was doing this, started doing this right here. And I'm standing back there more like this. And I'm like, this is awesome. I like where we're headed here. And here's the whole point. Man, I can live my Christian life like this if I want to. Or I can be empowered by something stronger than me. I can receive what God wants for me to have. And I can do it in His strength and in His power, because those hydraulics do what I cannot do. And it's just a picture that I've dug a lot of ditches with a shovel, and I've dug a lot more of them with hydraulics. And I'm telling you, I'd rather do it like this. In the same way, I have spent times of my life trying to do it on my own. And there's just the Spirit of the living God, figuratively speaking, on the trailer, right there. Why don't you just crank that thing up, pull it over here. It's gonna do it easier, faster, better. It's stronger. It's less effort for you. And listen to me, follower of Jesus. Ask the Holy Spirit of God to empower you. See, God gave me a skill to use words. He gives me an empowerment to teach the Word of God. It's different. I could be a news guy. I could be a sports voice, podcaster, do those things. But listen, I can't unpack the truth of Scripture and make it in a way where people can better understand it and make it applicable to real life. That's me doing this right here. The Spirit of God used me. But listen, God's empowered you the same way. You might not be a communicator. This might not be your calling. Maybe it is. But there is something that He wants to empower you to do. And I would just recommend that if you're frustrated and you're worn out and you're just tired of doing it like this, there's junk in the ground and you can't penetrate and get in there and it's wearing you out and you just want to throw hammers because you're frustrated all the time, I'm just encouraging you, man, get before the Father and say, I need the helper. I need to be empowered to do what You've called me to do. Show me what my tomorrow is. Help me to take the right steps. Help me to renew the way that I think so that I can do this in Your strength, not my own. Amen, everybody? Listen, it's that rock that He wants to build His church on. You're the Messiah, Son of the living God. And Jesus said, this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood. You've had a revelation about what is happening here. And listen to me, follower of Jesus. He wants that for you too. With every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, we're going to close right here and we're going to go celebrate baptism outside with people making an outward expression of an inward change. But listen to me, you can experience the inward change right now. Right now. And I don't know where you stand with God, but some of you in this room have never entered into a relationship with Him. I'd love to invite you to do that today. I promise you. You will not regret that decision. Others of you in this room, maybe you're just far from God. There's just distance. It happens. Listen, it happens. It's all right. this is your moment. I believe that God put you in this room at this moment for this purpose. Maybe you're tuning in online, perhaps live. Maybe this is a playback at some later date. This is your moment. And the Spirit of God is drawing you in to the presence of the Messiah right now. And the Bible says in Romans 8:14, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. This is a moment where you can become his son, his daughter, to be adopted and grafted in to the family of faith. And here's what I'm going to say right before we pray, that if you are here today and you're making that decision for the very first time, this is your moment between you and the Father. But I'm going to encourage you that if you make that decision today, would you join me outside here in just a moment by the pool? I would love to baptize you today to make an outward expression of an inward change. One of my teammates, Pastor Aldrich, is going to be out there, and he's wearing like maybe a, I don't know, like a pink kind of colored polo. And I want you to go see him. And I want you to say like, hey, I want to be baptized today. And here's what's going to happen. We did not plan this. So say, hey, see, I'm glad you're with me. All we're going to do is we're going to ensure that you are in a personal relationship with Jesus. That has happened on the inside. And then we'll invite you to celebrate the expression of that on the outside. So I just want to give the invitation to you to do that today. We have others that are registered. We're going to celebrate one way or another. But if you're here today and the Spirit has drawn you into the presence of the Father, this is your moment. And here's what I want to do. I want to lead you in a prayer. I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me. It's going to be very simple. And I just want you, what I say, you say. And I'm going to invite everybody in this room to say it with me, because if you're saying it for the first time, or maybe you're just saying it again, I want you to be able to say it loud, proud, with confidence. This is all about you right now. Here's our prayer. I want you to say, dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's stand together. Let's celebrate. Let's finish with some worship.